So in John 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus talks about that vine that we made reference to a while ago. Red letter edition, God's Word. Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You know, that's reality. Judy likes growing roses. And every once in a while she'll say, we need to get out there and trim the roses and cut off all of them old roses. And sure enough, a couple of days later, that daggum thing is full of roses again. It's amazing. You already have been pruned for greater faithfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart of me you can do nothing. Everyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Some such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. But, I love the buts and the ifs, but if you stay joined to me, my words remain in you, and you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. May he add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. We're here Sunday. So my question for all of us is, what is the church? It's always interesting. We don't have a lot of young people coming to church on a regular basis anymore. The schools, and when I was growing up, we used to read the scripture every morning. We would have prayer, pledges of allegiance, and for some reason our society has changed. So when I do get together with some young people sometimes and ask them what church they go to, and inevitably they'll look at me and say, what's church? That's so sad. So many people understand the church as a building, basically. That's not the biblical understanding of the church. The word church is translated from the Greek word ecclesia. I know my Greek is almost as bad as my English, but it's a Greek word, ecclesia, which is defined as an assembly or a called out one. And the root of that, meaning church, is not that of a building, but of people. It's ironic that when you ask people what church they attend, they usually identify it with a building. Or, I go to this church in downtown, or I go here and that. But that's not the church. In Romans 16:5, it said, Paul was talking, he says, greet the church that is in their house. A lot of house church. It was a house church where this fellowship grew out of. Paul is referring to the church, and the house is not a church building. You can have church in your house all the time. You can have communion in your house all the time. It's a wonderful thing. It's up to you. But more importantly, the church is the body of Christ, which he is the head of. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So the body of Christ is made up of believers. We are Christ followers, so to speak. And then we get close to coming to Pentecost pretty soon. Biblically speaking, we may regard the church in two ways. We do it in the Apostles' Creed, the one holy Catholic Church, simply meaning the universal church, the local church, all of the churches are all part of the same church. So the universal church consists of everyone everywhere who has a personal relationship with Christ. We are all baptized in the Spirit, so to speak, to form one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Gentiles or Greeks or slaves, Scripture talks about, we were all given to one Spirit. So the local church, Bethel, is just one of many local churches that Paul talked about in Galatians. We see here that when he did his missionary journeys all through Asia Minor and different things, planting free churches and churches that didn't have a pastor, where the people, the lay people, would take care of the churches once Paul went on. It was the same with Wesley and the founding of Methodism in our country. Circuit riders, Phil sent me a thing about circuit riders the other day, and it's amazing how they spread the gospel all through this area on horseback. But not every church he could get to every Sunday, so the lay people in those churches performed the service. And now even still, our United Methodist denomination is basically lay people. And we're grateful for that, because the lay people know more about their local fellowship than any pastor or preacher can. So in summary, the church is not a building or a denomination, and according to the Bible, the church is the body of Christ. And members of the local church may not be members of the universal church, because it depends on their genuineness of their faith. It is open to all. The grace of God is available, and that's what makes you a member of Christ's holy church. So back to that word abide. Well, it means really to be fully present, to maintain an unbroken fellowship with, or to be rooted into something or someone. Much like a root in healthy soil and water it, the more that it abides, the stronger and healthier that it'll grow. Flourish and break forth out of an authentic identity who reaches full potential. In a sense, that's what Jesus was talking about when he speaks to his disciples in our scripture today, what it means to abide in him. Jesus described our state of abiding as a branch attached to a primary vine, planted by the vine grower. In order for the branch to grow and bear flowers or fruit and multiply, seeds, feed others, the vine must always be connected to the root vine. It'll no longer have a source of nourishment when it's separated from. That one that I picked up a while ago will no longer be supplied. That root goes down, you can see where it goes down into the ground, and now that I took it off, it'll just wither away. But a branch that is fully connected to the root, it draws all its nurture and sustenance from the root, the core vine. And it will always flourish. The image is simple, but effective. In order for us to flourish and grow and serve effectively in the world of Jesus Christ, we must stay connected constantly and be rooted in Christ. Connected, engaged, excited, immersed. If we cut ourselves off from our source, it harms not only our ability to serve, but it harms others as well, and even including our own health and our well-being. We have life only in connection to God. Well, this requires us to make a time of awareness, to be fully engaged, fully immersed, giving our full attention to our relationship with Christ. And that's what we're about. We're not about a religion. We're about a relationship with the living God through Christ, a personal relationship. It's so personal because he knows your heart. He knows everything about you. And when you develop that, you will get a sense of freedom that's just incredibly you can't explain it with words. Travis done a great job writing music. He writes some good songs. He also made reference to one of the coaches at FSU. Athletes, they play their best game when they are immersed fully in a state of flow. We as disciples of Christ do the same thing, because we're most energized, connected, and engaged with a spirit-led life when we abide in Christ. Now, how can we think of that and follow the Spirit's direction if we do not take time to discern, to feel that experience? One of the things about relationship with God through Christ is the experience that we get, and know that the flow of the Spirit. So whether you're in meditation, deep prayer, scriptural study, singing, other flowing activities, John Wesley said all of this is what we call a means of grace. Grace is a very important part, and the means of grace in our sustenance of faith, energy, and empowerment as disciples for the world. So So how do we ensure ourselves to know if we are abiding in Christ? Well, most would say that it's important to set aside time each day to engage in quiet meditation or a sense of flow or abiding. It says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I'm God. That's meditation, just to step back and take time to see our life and how it can be more abundant. If we enter into these participations of things with excitement and joy, and when you enter in, you also feel yourself engaging, not because you should, but because you are pulled in by the Holy Spirit. If you fully desire to be engaged with the source of your focus, you will be blessed. Now, I like to think of Pentecost as an example of full immersion experience. Immersion experiences invite you to become lost in the experience, to fully marinate luxuriously and experience the gift of the Holy Spirit and the movement within you and your life. Now, sometimes certain atmospheres can help you enter into that kind of experiential place, that's for sure. Things that we do in the church normally, rituals, if you will, lighting candles, music, singing, hand washing, or foot washing, anointings, or other kind of experiential practices that can help you enter into a deeper state of prayer and a spiritual state of abiding. Now, for some, prayer takes on a daily, hourly, even sometimes a momentary practice. You don't have to have long, drawn-out prayers. Little short prayers are just as good as long, drawn-out ones. God becomes your walking companion wherever you go. He is always with you. That's what Jesus said when I go to be with the Father. I'm going to send one greater than I, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you and with you. And all you got to do is recognize it. Sometimes we think it's our conscience, but it's not. It's the Holy Spirit's keeping us on track, so to speak. But you practice it like you musicians practice, doctors practice. I always wonder, why does doctors say, well, I'm going to be in practice when I get out of medical school, or a lawyer, I'm going to practice. I'm going to have my own practice. Well, it's practicing. So the same thing with us, that we need to practice our faith. And the more that you encourage your experience of abiding, the more you'll feel the palpable presence of God in your life, and the more you will nourish your soul and discern the call for Jesus in your own walk with the Lord. But abiding does not only need to be our own personal experience. Congregation can grow closer and more mission-driven when they pray and they meditate together. That's why we come together on Sunday morning, to encourage one another, to handle anything that we can. And when we do that and flow in the Spirit, disagreements can fade away. We won't always agree on anything, but we can agree to disagree and still love. That's the most important part of our relationship with God. And when a congregation focuses on discerning the Holy Spirit's direction and welcoming the Holy Spirit's infusion in the life and the future of the church, amazing and miraculous things can happen inside and outside those church walls. Communities can heal. People can become powerful witnesses to health and wellness of discipleship. Churches can become social centers for healing and inclusiveness for all people. So today, in closing, on this wonderful, beautiful day of Heritage Sunday here at Bethel, I challenge us, challenge you, challenge me, because I'm still abiding too, to put some time each day to spend in whatever ways that you feel that speaks to your way of walking with Christ. Jot it down. Journaling is really special. Lexi is in Coral Grove, down at LSU, and they had their spring concert the other night, and they had a fall concert many months ago. They sing okay, but I could see that in the spring concert, how much practicing, when do you get together? Once a week? Practice? Every day. Every day they practice. And it was beautiful. The choral group was just, bless you. And so that's what I'm talking about. Every day of your life, jot something down. Keep a track of maybe something you prayed about a long time ago, and you thought, well, I don't know if that prayer ever been answered. Then you look back on your journal and say, oh, it was. Anyhow, Jesus is not merely a figure to be studied. He is a change agent and a source of all of our nourishment and, more important, hope, the blessed hope. If we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies, my paraphrase of what Paul said in Romans 7. But because of the death, the burial, the resurrection, and his promise coming again, we have hope. Hope of eternal life. That's what keeps us going. And he is coming back soon. Don't know when. He said even that he didn't know, but he is coming back. And he said it, I believe it. He is waiting for us to open our hearts through his sustaining and enlivening spirit. So I dare all of us to immerse ourselves in the all-powerful vine of Christ. I can tell you this, your life will never be the same in Jesus' name. Well, grace and love of God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the time of food and fellowship that we're going to have here in a little while. And we thank you for the hands that prepared it and our bodies that are going to receive it. And we continue to lift up one another in prayer and to encourage one another in the faith. In Jesus' precious name, all of God's children say, amen.